there was no Lord Jesus Christ. My goodness, I wouldn't want to be here. Well, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, verse number 10. Start reading verse number 9. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Father, bless this holy book. Give me unction, Lord, to preach it. Let me glorify your holy name. May I decrease, and may thou increase. May they look beyond me, above me, around me, and let them see Christ and not me. In your holy name, amen. You can be seated. The book of Revelation, the only book in the Bible that promises a blessing for those that read it. Granted, the book of Revelation is interpreted by a thousand different ways, depending on your eschatology. That's just a big word, simply means your doctrine of last things. The Greek word eschatos means last. So the doctrine of last things, amillennial, premillennial, postmillennial, pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture. All of these things play into the interpretation of the book of Revelation. So you got to be very careful dealing with someone who is absolutely, the kind of person who says it's my way or the highway. You've got a right to be wrong. Takes that attitude that you can't think for yourself and the Holy Ghost won't show you anything. That for the last 30, 40, 50 years he's had it right and never been instructed in any place that he may have been wrong. God has showed me down through the years a few places I have been wrong. And I'm open-minded to him to this very moment. If the Lord shows me something that doesn't match my doctrine, I say, Lord, give me the grace and understanding to receive it, because I want to know what the Lord says. It's important to me. It's very important. But what you have in the book of Revelation, apocalypsis, a revelation, a revealing. Christ reveals the future, but the book of Revelation reveals Christ. So it's a twofold thing. Come from two different perspectives. One perspective is that you see him in three different ways, distinct, absolutely distinct in each one of them. For this one, for example, in chapter number 1, you see him glorified in beauty. You see him again, he shows up in chapter 4 and 5 as a lamb before a throne. Then in chapter number 19, you see heaven opened and a warrior coming out of heaven with a sharp two-edged sword proceeding forth from his mouth. As the warrior that comes out of heaven, a sharp two-edged sword, that's for the world to see, because they will see. That lamb that appears before this throne is for God the Father to see, because he's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. 24 elders are there, a sea of glass, and they all marvel at the great sacrifice that was made. And they really didn't begin to understand it, because how else would they cry at the end of that, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb"? And he certainly is worthy, folks. Took all the rest of the religions on this earth, put them all in a big pot, shake them together, and not a one of them ever did a thing for you. But the Lord Jesus Christ went to a horrid cross, and there he gave himself and died a horrible death in your on your behalf and my behalf. But in Revelation chapter number 1, you have an entirely different situation. For what you have here is not before God the Father, and it's not before the world. He's standing in the midst of 7 golden candlesticks. And here, these 7 candlesticks reveal to us as the churches of the living God. And not only that, but you have 7 angels that represent these candlesticks. And I believe they're bishops, the ministers of these churches. And they're standing before Almighty God. God judges in the midst of his people. The judgment bar that God holds for us is much higher. We're not low-hanging fruit. God doesn't come to us to plow and clean up the earth. He brings for us because we have so much light and because we know him apart from all the rest of this world. He raises us to a higher standard and judges us on a higher standard. Therefore, the world can get away with a lot of things that you'll never get away with. And if you're truly born again, a good indication that you are truly saved and you continue on is the fact that you'll die young. God won't let you continue. If you live after the flesh, you'll die. Be certain of that. Once you're born of the Spirit of God, he owns you, lock, stock, and barrel. So the best thing to do is to heed what it says in Hebrews chapter number 12, is to bow yourself, to bow the knee, to bend and yield to the mighty hand of God as he begins to chasten you and work in your life, because he does it not as a father chastens for the limited understanding that a father might have, but when God the Father chastens us, it's a much higher purpose, that we might pertain of his righteousness. A goal, my friend, that is wondrous in this world. Doesn't it encourage you to when you see courage? How many do that? Does it move your heart when you see real love? Does that affect you? Does it really move you and affect you in the sense when you see a real sacrifice being made? Someone's giving something and expects nothing in return. That moves us, doesn't it? Well, these are the high things of the characters of people. Does it also bother you when you see grifters and the only thing they want is to what they can get and what they can take? Does it bother you when you have someone who can run their tongue but it's not connected to their brain? You know a lot of people like that, don't you? And they tear down. They don't build up anything. You can always tell where they've been. It's like a hurricane or a tornado. That's what they leave, broken lives in their wake. You know anybody like that? Think about what I'm saying. Your profession can be one thing, but you're judged by the fruit of your life. Amen. So you see all kinds of things. In this country, they give out the Medal of Honor. That's the highest medal that the armed services can give. And rightly so. It's a wondrous thing when you read sometimes and have told what these men and women have done to earn the Medal of Honor. Many, many, many Medal of Honors are given in posthumously. The person is long gone, but they're remembered because of their courage. Courage has a way of moving and inspiring people. It moves you. It reaches down into your soul. It speaks to you on a level that nothing else can. Does courage do you like that? It does me. I have great respect when I see courage. They say that during the war between the states, at the place that's called the Wilderness, Robert E. Lee led his troops through there because he was outnumbered. And so being the general that he was, he had something, I don't know what, 20,000, 30,000 troops, and he was facing something like 60,000 or 70,000 troops. So he chose the battlefield, and it was the Wilderness. And so what that did was it evened the sides. And they had an area there called the Bloody Angle in the Wilderness. And there the troops came face to face in hand-to-hand combat. And the troops charged against the weapons firing against them, the smoke and the bullets all flying. And the enemy saw them as they rushed into their face, as they ran right into the bullets. And they began to cheer. And the reason they cheered is because they were faced with courage that they could not deny. It moved them. Now, how many of you know anything about history? And you know what I'm talking about, the Bloody Angle. Now, my dear friend, I want to tell you something. I'm not up here this morning to get into a race issue with you. I'm not up here to argue either side. I'm up here to give you the history, okay? And to tell you what courage is. That's what courage is. The enemy saw courage and he cheered them on because of the courage of the men being displayed. In other words, I may have to kill you. I may have to shoot you down. But I'm going to respect you because I cannot let something like that just pass away. It would do our nation good today if we had men and women of courage in this country. Amen. Instead of all these grifters and all this garbage that goes on in this nation, take what you can. That's what you're living with right now. But it won't inspire you. It'll tear you down. So the book of Revelation is a book about the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we see some things in the Bible that give us an idea of who we're talking about here this morning. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 2 and verse number 7, he shows up as the creator. You say the Lord Jesus? Yes, he's the creator. He forms a body from the dust of the ground, breathes into his nostrils the breath of life, and he becomes a living soul. The first face that Adam ever saw was the face of the last Adam. You said the Lord Jesus? Yes, the Lord Jesus. The Bible said in Colossians, all things were made by him and for him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And so the first face that Adam saw was the loving eyes of his creator, the breath that it breathed into him. Here he was, a living being, all because of the face of that one. But when that hideous monster showed up to Eve, she was deceived. The Bible says in the book of Timothy that the man was not deceived, but the woman was. And so therefore she was in the transgression. Adam chose, though, with his eyes wide open, to die for his bride. Because he knew that if the Lord God could wipe Eve and said, I'll give you another wife. I'll make another one for you. Of course, God doesn't react to anything. He knew exactly what he was going to do. You understand me, don't you? But he said, Adam said, I'm going to die with her. But whatever you do to her, you have to do to me. So I connect myself with her. And that's who we are today. We're her. We're his bride. He died for us. He loves us. We have a special place in his heart that nothing else has. The bride of Christ, my dear friends, who he's coming for. The Bible said the heavens will open. The Lord Jesus will appear and shout our names. And up we go to him. I'm looking for that too. Boy, am I ever looking for that. This filthy hell hole, it stinks. Man. Boy. You say, are you fed up with it? Up to here. But anyway, my problem is I've lived too long. I remember when America was sane. I remember a different America. I didn't get it out of a book. I lived it. And all this stuff that you're seeing happen around here that has progressed over the last 50, 60 years, I lived through every bit of it. I watched it come on and I watched it develop and I watched it wind up where it is today. I know what I'm talking about, folks. How many of you have been around here long enough to know what I'm talking about? You remember a different America. Wouldn't you like to see it change again? A fellow was here the other day with a Black Robe Regiment. He had brought a lot of good stuff out about America and the things that we could hope for and move for into the future. But you see, my dear friend, there's a greater purpose than America. There's the Church of God. Amen. That's the Church of the Living God. It's a greater purpose than America. But he shows himself in Genesis chapter number 2. We see him there, a good picture of Christ. It's a beautiful picture where he made Adam. In the book of Genesis chapter number 18, Abraham is sitting in his tent in the heat of the day in the plains of Mamre. And the Bible said the Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre and sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He appears to Abraham because he's about to do something. And what he's about to do, my dear friend, can be found in the archaeological record to this day. You can go down to the Dead Sea. You'll find bones that are burned crisp. You'll find ashes all over that place. You will find where a conflagration had come down upon that place and it came down from the heavens. In Genesis chapter number 18, though, it says this. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous. That's sad, isn't it? And what do you mean? He burned them to a crisp, folks. Well, you do believe? Do you really believe that? Don't you? Yes, I believe the Bible. Amen. He burned them to a crisp. It shows you a side to God that a lot of people don't like. But it's God. It's God. It's the truth. If you remember the Sermon on the Mount when the Lord Jesus preached, blessed are they that do this, blessed this, blessed this, blessed that, called the Beatitudes. But then he got into the doctrine of hell, hellfire. And he preached more on hell than anybody that ever walked this earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. Who am I to come along and judge him? Who am I to change his message? He preached the truth. Are you living in a generation and an age where people that you see around you, my dear friend, are going to hell? Think about what I'm saying to you. They'll kill you in a heartbeat. There's no respect for human life out there now. They'll murder you over nothing. Take your life away as if you're nothing. But the Bible says plainly, man is made in the image of God. And when therefore you smite a man, God says that take it personally because he's in my image. But here in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1 and verse number 10, the Bible said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What does that mean, preacher? I can't explain what it means, but I certainly believe it. I believe it. You are a spirit being. So what does that mean? That means that however God did it, he took John. He took John out of his body and gave him an existence where it was this pure spirit of John looking down upon the earth. In plain words, the essence of the man. Since the Bible says that God is a spirit, therefore the essence of God is pure spirit. If anybody asks you, God, who is God, what is God? You simply say this, the essence of God is pure spirit. And this is very important. Since we do not know the essence of a spirit, we do not know the essence of God. Am I right? You have to take that home and think on it. Pray over it. Think about it. But out of the darkness, out of the wickedness, out of the lostness, out of the place where no one could come from, he gave himself to us and stepped out of that and stepped into our reality, our creation, our world, our likeness. And the Lord Jesus Christ therefore became the very manifestation of the essence of God for mankind. Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago we saw Christ. And he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. There it is, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Heard a great voice as of a trumpet. There was a voice in the garden. There's a voice in your soul. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. And a stranger they'll not hear. If he's not talking to you, it's because you're not talking to him. If he's not talking to you this morning, it's because you're not communing with him. Talk to him. There's a reciprocation. Talk to him. He talks back to you. Listen to him. Do what he tells you to do. Humble yourself in the mighty hand of God. God's had to bring me down in the last few weeks. He's had for me to get alone with him. And I've had to say, Lord, I don't understand why all this is coming on, why it's happening. But I'm not running. And I'm not quitting. I'll stick with it. And I'll do it. And I'll accept the responsibility for it because I love. How many of you understand what I'm saying? I will take what you put on my plate and I'll live with it. And you know what? He's beginning to show things to me about himself that I never knew before. Beginning to realize things about God. Sense them that I never sensed before. Are you listening? Our problem is that we talk too much. Word, 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 word. I'll tell you the truth. I marvel at these guys, these people that they drive their car and they got their phone up there on the dash. Lord have mercy, man. Get me away from that thing. I'd go screaming mad if I couldn't get away from that phone. Talk, 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 talk. You check the social media. What did they say here? I'm going to check this. I'm going to check these. Why don't you come down to the ground? You know how many decades I lived before a cell phone ever showed up? I remember the time if you didn't have a dime, you couldn't make a phone call. And you had to find a booth to do that. But anyway, he'll talk to you. He has. You can always tell when you're doing what God wants you to do. You may not feel right about some things. Stuff may bother you. But if you yield yourself to the hand of God in your life and not run from what God's doing in your life, he begins to communicate with you. He begins to talk to you. And that's more blessed than anything there is to know that you're in the will of God, is to know you're doing what God wants you to do. How many know what I'm talking about now? This is not a feel-good sermon, you know. This is the truth. A lot of things you don't ask for, and you don't know they're coming. You don't. You don't ask for them, you don't know they're coming. But you don't run. Why? Because God's still God. Nothing's changed about him. Amen. He's still the Lord. Do you love? Do you love anybody more than you love yourself? Have you been having preachers preaching to you that you need to love yourself? Shut them off. I see them in the restaurants and I look at them and I think to myself, you're a heretic. You're up here telling people to love themselves. That your problem is you don't love yourself. And no, my friend, that's not your problem. The Apostle Paul said, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. If he said that, how in this world can you get up and preach self-love? Self-love's not my problem. No, I don't need more self-love. I got too much of that already. That's natural. Every man loves his own flesh. I need to love somebody more than me. And do you love our Lord Jesus Christ? He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. He did not say, do you love my sheep more than these? He did not say, do you love the ministry more than these? He didn't say, do you love the people more than these? He didn't say, do you love preaching more than these? He said, lovest thou me more than these? The love of Christ will sustain you, folks. If you love him, if you commune with him, if you fellowship with him, you'll find him to be the most blessed, sweetest thing that ever happened to your soul. You will. You'll find it. You'll find it. You'll find him to be the most gracious one that you've ever met. I'm talking about somebody that's alive. And when he come and he stood in the midst of the church, he came and he stood in the midst of the church and he revealed his glory to the church. And it's a wondrous thing. The church at Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I went with Brother Bevington to Turkey. That was one of the best trips I ever took. I went over there with him about 5 times. But this one to Turkey was something. Why? Because this is the former location. It's the location of these former churches. And there's not a one of them there except Smyrna, Izmir, Turkey. They've got a church building. You can go into that building. They've got a picture of Polycarp hanging on the wall. Say, who's Polycarp, preacher? He's one of the martyrs. Early, we're talking. A martyr in the church, Polycarp. He gave his life for his faith in Christ. He was 80-something years old when he died. And this was in Smyrna. See, this was the faithful church. But think of it now, out of 7 churches, only one left. I can take you to Ohio. Big buildings. People sacrificed, worked hard, put their money in the plate to build these buildings, and they're empty. And it's happening everywhere. They're dying, drying up. This building will not bless you, folks. There's no blessing in these musical instruments. They're helpful, but that's not, the blessing doesn't come from that. So where does it come from? If Christ is not in the midst of his church, it's dead, it's dying, and it ought to die. You need the Lord Jesus. And you need him worse than you think you do. You need him, folks. You say, I've been trying to find God and I can't find him. Quit looking and sit down and be still and know there's a God, because he'll find you. He'll find you. He'll find you in a way you never thought he could find you. Amen. What a wonderful thing. So in the midst of the church, he begins to reveal himself, hair white as snow. You can read back in the book of Daniel. It talks about him that sits on the throne. His hair is white as snow. What's that? That's ancient wisdom, the wisdom of God, the wisdom that existed with God before ever he was incarnate in flesh that I've preached to you about. It was the wisdom of God that sat down with God and created man in the mind of God before the man was ever first made from the dust of the ground. It was the wisdom of God that saw all through all the ages of time, from age unto age, as the Greek says it. At the ages roll on, as we say, at the beginning and into the end, the wisdom of God. And that wisdom is what's being applied to us as Christians right now. If you listen to him, God will put wisdom in your mind. He'll teach you that. He'll show you how to deal with each other. He'll show you how to talk to him. He'll show you how to take that blessed book. Let me say once again, that book, don't take a cavalier attitude toward that book. He told Moses, he said, write a book. Here in the book of Revelation, he said, write a book. In the book of Revelation, he said, I've got a curse for anybody that takes anything out of the words of the book. I've got a curse for them. I'll add the plagues to you. Leave it alone. You've been saved 2 or 3 years. You're not a Bible scholar. You've been saved 2 or 3 years. Keep studying. But what in the world do you think you're doing? You got somebody's commentary, and now you're altering the Word of God, and you're up here teaching people that a better translation is this, and you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have a clue. You really don't. That's straight talk, but you don't know what you're talking about. Don't take a cavalier attitude toward that book. Do you know that men and women have died for that book? That's God's word. Approach it like that, with a great spirit of reverence for the word of God. The book of Revelation says plainly, I'm Alpha and the Omega, first and the last. The first and last letter of the Greek alphabet is all that is. Aleph and Tau in Hebrew. That's all it is. No, but it is this. I am everything from the beginning, and I am everything to the end. The Bible tells us plainly, of him, through him, and to him are all things. I let that go through my mind so much, and I think about that. Of him, through him, and to him are all things. The God that I serve, folks, is an almighty, absolute, all-knowing being. He watches every step I take. He knows every beat of my heart. He knows every thought that comes through my mind. You can't hide anything from him. And he brings me down. He humbles me. He brings me down to my knees. And I say, Lord God, you know me. You know what I've been through. You know who I am. You know where I rebel against you. You know what the thoughts that come through my mind. You know what I'm made out of. But God, and that's the easiest prayer for me to pray. It really is. It's a simple one, and I want to go back to that person who prayed it. And here's what he said. Lord, remember me. I identify with that thief. That's what I say. Lord, I can't remember everything I've ever done. I can't search the depths of my soul. I'm not arrogant enough to think that I can do that. If you have a man tell you that he's clean and he's perfect and there's nothing in his soul, you're looking at an arrogant, self-deceived devil that doesn't have a clue what it is to draw nigh to God. I say, Lord, remember me. Remember me. Just, that's good enough. If you'll accept me by remembering me, that's what the thief was saying. He said, here I am, got nothing to hide, nothing I can do. I don't have any money. I can't do a thing. I am what I am. Lord, here I am. Remember me. And what did he say to him? Today. And that's what there's somebody in here right now that needs what I just said. You need it. You need it more than anything that you've heard said in a long time. It's going to open up something inside your soul. You don't have to make excuses. You don't have to try to look better. You don't have to try to sound religious. You don't have to try to fit in. You don't have to try to say to yourself, well, maybe I don't believe enough, or maybe I'm not sincere enough. No. Simply say, Lord, remember me.
You'd be surprised how an arm will come down and wrap itself around your soul. That spirit being will draw you nigh to him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse your sins away. Wouldn't you like to have that? Would you like to have that? Would you like to have that? Water won't wash them away. No, good works cannot get it. These all have their place. But the only thing that can wash your sins away is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Would you do it? I'm going to stop right here. Wasn't sure where God wanted me to go this morning, and he wanted me to go right there. Right there. Lord, remember me. Remember me. Bow your head with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I gave what you put on my soul. Now I'm free. I don't have a burden. I've done what the messenger does. Somebody in this house this morning heard that, and they know that you're speaking to them. Oh God, wouldn't it be wonderful if they just got up now and they came down here and they walked up to you and said, oh God, remember me. Remember me. That's all I got to say, Lord. I don't know anything. I have nothing else to say. Just remember me, Lord. Anybody do that? Just walk on down here and say, oh God, you spoke to me. You spoke to me in a way I haven't been spoken to in a long time. Remember me, Lord. That's good enough. It got it done for the thief on the cross, didn't it? Oh, yeah. Remember me. And he did. Father, in thy holy name, in Jesus' name. Anybody raise your hand this morning now and say, Preacher Lawson, I want you to pray for me. Pray for me because God's dealing with my heart. God bless you back there. God bless you up here. Yes, you've gotten well all over the place. God's hands everywhere. Amen. Amen. Father, I intercede for them, Lord. I cannot take their place, and I will not and cannot come between them and you. I do not have that authority. But I will pray for them, and I'll bring them to you, and I'll intercede for them, Father. And I'll pray that you'd move in their heart. And I pray that they'd turn loose of whatever pride's holding them back. I pray they'd get rid of it. Treat it with disdain. And come to you this morning. And come in Jesus' name. And simply bow and say, Lord, remember me in your holy name. Amen. What do we got, brother? 385.